Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK, and it is a pleasure to be back with another solo episode. Today, I really want to talk about something that I think will hit home with a lot of people, and it's definitely something that I have been struggling with. I saw an article on social media, obviously, about procrastination, and it inspired me to want to record this podcast because it really hit home. I have been massively procrastinating recently, and it impacts me because I feel like I then get a bit paralyzed by procrastination, and it stops me from actually starting tasks. And I thought, if I'm feeling that, a few other people I've spoken to are feeling it as well, and I wanted to make sure that I can share some knowledge. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk about the types of procrastination, why we procrastinate, how to avoid or stop procrastinating, which is definitely what I need, and also a little bit at the end about whether it's a bad thing or not. So the definition of procrastination, a very simple definition, is it's the act of delaying or postponing something. However, psychologists and scientists have created more complex definitions, including the gap between intention and action. Procrastination involves unnecessary and unwanted delay, be it decisional, implementational, or a lack of timeliness. And finally, a form of self-regulation failure characterized by the irrational delay of tasks despite potentially negative consequences. Some examples of what procrastination actually is browsing on social media instead of getting on with tasks. I do that. Repeatedly putting off a report until the night before it's due. I also do that. Wanting to start a new positive habit, maybe dieting, exercising, saving money, but constantly delaying it and telling yourself you'll start soon. I also do that. I'm meant to be saving money and I keep buying stuff from ASOS and I keep saying I'll start next month. Wanting to start a project or a business, but wasting time researching more than necessary and looking at unimportant inspiration rather than actually setting it up. A few less obvious examples of procrastination, including paying bills at the last possible moment to keep that money in your account for as long as possible, not apologizing to someone straight away, even though you probably know you're in the wrong, not selling old things when you don't use them anymore. And the final one, which I'm sure a lot of people have done, is not ending a relationship you know is not going to work. According to new research, 84% of us are affected to some degree by procrastination. One in five of us are chronic procrastinators, procrastinating at least once every single day. And I did an Instagram stories poll. It came back that since March, 90% of people have found themselves on more than one occasion procrastinating. I am definitely a chronic procrastinator, and I think a lot of it is down to my imposter syndrome. One of my values is ticking tasks off of a list. And I always used to find real joy in completing something. But I think now in my role, there are moments where I feel like the job is bigger than what I can do. So I try and put it off for as long as possible. It's definitely brought it out in me when I feel like I'm not capable enough. And it means that I just put off until I actually do it. And then I big things up in my head to make them feel like they're so much bigger than what they actually are. And then when I do them, they take probably half the time that I thought it would do because I've just overthought it, which is another thing that I always do. I'm a massive overthinker. And it's probably not helped working from home either, like feeling that energy and the buzz from other people doing work. I think when you're faced with more distractions from working from home, including odd jobs that need doing around the house, guilty of that, putting a wash on, a lack of dedicated working space and any sort of family or children that you've got around, it's safe to say that people are experiencing procrastination more than they would usually. If you're at work in an office, you associate that with working and getting things done. And it's not as easy to check social media or to start other tasks that aren't work related. So looking at the results from my Instagram stories poll, it's clear that this is the case, or at least for my followers. And I want to say a massive welcome to all my new followers, because I've had loads of new ones. And I hope you are enjoying the content we're putting out. The Instagram stories poll as well, 75% of people said that lockdown and working from home has made their procrastination worse. So yeah, as I said, like, I am definitely feeling that, and I'm finding it harder as I get closer to the end of the year in what has been for everyone just a horrific year, trying to stay motivated to do jobs right now and have focus. Focus for me is a real problem. Just sitting down and focusing for half an hour on a task is getting harder and harder the closer it is we're getting to Christmas. It does have a big impact, and procrastination is often detrimental to people's ability to successfully pursue their goals. In fact, procrastination is associated with receiving worse grades at school and earning a lower salary at work. And it's also associated with increased stress, worse physical and mental health, symptoms of depression, and an increased burden placed on social relationships. I don't think any of those have happened to me, because I usually get to a point and then I give myself a bit of a kick and then I actually get the job done. So I'll never miss deadlines. I won't miss things that I've got to do. But I do think that I, probably the pressure I put on myself as well, but I do think I could have done things a lot better this year and getting just a little bit more prepared. I think running from Zoom call to Zoom call doesn't help as well, because you've not got that preparation time and you're not actually having a break. So you just feel constantly like you're running on empty. And I don't think that helps my procrastination. And I think it puts pressure on me, my mental health, in terms of managing my own relationship, my internal monologue about being good at my job. And I think that's one thing that procrastination does to me. So now we know about that, it's really important, I think, to talk about why we procrastinate. So there's a few theories here. First theory I want to go into is the fact that it's not laziness, it's actually the opposite. And there's a theory that procrastination is due to laziness, incompetence, or a lack of pride in our work, which is actually wrong. According to Harley Street psychologist Dr. Meg Arrol, procrastination is rarely, if ever, due to laziness, incompetence, or lack of pride in our work. In fact, it's usually the opposite. She works with many clients who have mental roadblocks, which lead to delaying an inevitable task. And usually this stems from a fear of failure, which is the imposter syndrome, anxiety, and perfectionism. And procrastination often arises because we care about a task and or the outcome of that task too much, not too little. Laziness suggests apathy, inactivity, and an unwillingness to act, whereas procrastination is an active process, choosing to do something else instead of the task you should be doing. So never label yourself as lazy. It's very likely to be the opposite. And I touched on this earlier. This is definitely me. I care deeply about the work I do, and I care deeply about social chain and everyone that works in it. But I am so scared of getting stuff wrong. My fear of failure is so big. And I think this year has amplified that to the 10,000th degree, that this is what I am suffering with. It's fear of getting it wrong. So I just hold off and hold off and hold off. The second theory that I want to go through is the notion that we have to feel inspired or motivated to work on that task in that moment. A lot of procrastination is caused by a lack of motivation, and something that lots of us experiencing in 2020. And the later we get on in the year, that motivation is really hard to find. When you are coping with lockdown, you're coping with not seeing friends and family, you're coping with a complete change in the whole of your life, not going into the office, not building those social relationships that you've got, it can have an impact on your motivation. And I'd say that that probably has been a problem for me. Like, trying to motivate myself to get up every day and sit in the same space every day, not looking at anyone, because I live on my own, is tough. It's really hard because you can't see outside of your four walls. We tend to believe that if we don't feel motivated in that moment in time, that we should put a task off until we do feel motivated, inspired, or in the right headspace. However, the reality is that if you wait until you're in the right frame of mind to do a certain task, especially undesirable mundane ones, you'll probably find that the right time will never come along and those tasks will never get completed. It's impossible to stay motivated all the time, especially when you're trying to complete tasks that we find boring or deem unnecessary. But these tasks need completing regardless of how we feel about them. Often the motivation we feel like we need to do something will never come around, but keep putting it off and you hope that it'll arrive and it doesn't. So I was always taught to try and do the jobs you want to do the least first, and then you've got them out of the way at the beginning of the day, and write a to-do list of all the things that you want to achieve in that day and try and get the ones that you don't want to do first, and then save the fun ones till after, because it gives you that motivation to get through the more mundane ones. Because there's always things in your job that you enjoy doing more than others, and there's always going to be things in your job that you either don't feel as confident in or you don't find as fun. But that's just, unfortunately, that is life. You've got to do those tasks in your role that you won't enjoy as some other bits. But that's why we're all human and you're not going to like everything that you do. So building out that sort of task list and doing the things that you don't enjoy first gives you motivation for the bits that you do want to do. Looking deeper into motivation, motivation issues arise when main motivation for performing tasks is extrinsic. It's reward driven by fame, praise, or money rather than intrinsic, which is driven by an internal fulfillment or happiness. As it relates to work, this is why it's so important that you truly enjoy your job and have a passion for what you do. You may like your job because it pays well or there's a chance of a promotion, but this isn't the kind of motivation you should be working with. This is an extrinsic motivation. If you like your job because you're passionate about the area you're working in, you love learning new things, or you get a real sense of accomplishment when you achieve things that you didn't think was possible, this is intrinsic motivation. And so it's important to have it in all aspects of your life, not just work. And if you listened to the podcast a few weeks ago, we talked about ikigai and finding your ikigai, your reason to get up in the morning. That is exactly this. Although you may feel motivated to complete something because there's a financial reward at the end of it, you're much more likely to experience procrastination because the motivation is extrinsic. I know right now probably isn't the best time to leave your job without anything else lined up, but it's worth considering that maybe you procrastinate on a lot of work-based tasks because you aren't motivated to complete them for the right reasons. And if you are now, you probably never will be, which is food for thought. I don't think I've ever experienced that myself. Because one of my values is learning new things, I've always pushed myself to learn new skills or a new industry, and that's why I've moved jobs when I have. It hasn't been for the financial rewards, it's been to learn something new. So I don't think I've ever been that sort of chaser. I've always been more intrinsically motivated across everything that I do, but I'm quite an emotional being, so I think that's probably why. There's something else called achievement motivation. Different people have different levels of achievement motivation, which means that some people are more driven and motivated than others to pursue their goals in life. It can be defined as a need for success or the attainment of excellence. Employees who are achievement motivated thrive very well in businesses where they receive regular performance reviews. They feel energized and satisfied with their jobs because goals are set. They're given positive or negative feedback and some type of reward if they perform well. Research shows that those who have lower levels of achievement motivation are more likely to procrastinate on various tasks. Now, as a child of two teachers, I am incredibly driven by achievement and someone telling me I've done a good job. And I think that's because all the way through my whole life has been marked with a red pen. So for me, I'm all about getting told I'm doing something well. It's a really bad trait because I'm constantly trying to find someone to give me praise. But it is interesting right now. And I think 2020, in us all working from home, has taken away part of that feedback loop. Because you are working from your own environment, you are in the moment in your own home without that two-way feedback a lot of the time. And you could probably go without getting that feedback from your manager or the wider team because there's just so much going on and you're not in the same workspace to just carry on with those little bits of feedback that you get for a job. So I think as leaders, it's really important to make sure that you're over communicating right now, giving people feedback, good or bad, so they can progress in how they're doing and making sure that they feel motivated, knowing the journey that the company is on and where they're trying to get to and everyone's role within it. The third theory is that other reasons may be task aversiveness. So I've sent out 300 applications for jobs and nothing's happened. Distractibility and impulsiveness. So an example of that will be, I will start now, but first let me check social media. Oh, look at this funny TikTok video. Wait, let me just make a cup of tea. I do that because I always think, I'm going to start this after I've had a cup of tea and a biscuit. And feeling like goals and rewards are too far off in the future. So what's the point in finishing this report now? It won't make a difference to my future job prospects anytime soon. I'm definitely the middle one in that. I am impulsive. I was talking to Lucy about it the other day, actually. I can't seem to focus on one task at a time because then there's something else that I feel like I need to do. And I don't know if that's a symptom of this year, but I constantly feel like I need to be doing something or I've got a job to do and it stops me from doing everything else and I'm jumping from one thing to another. And my 4 o'clock brew is probably one of the things that I do that I stop to put off. But I think a lot of that's because I'm constantly on video calls and I'm not having any breaks in the day. The fourth theory is demographic factors. Multiple studies on procrastination show that a person's age is negatively associated with the likelihood that they will procrastinate, since people tend to procrastinate less as they grow older. Gender is also associated with the likelihood that a person will procrastinate, with women procrastinating less on average than men, which is really interesting. And I'd love to know from the male listeners whether they think that that's true. There are different types of procrastinators. There are passive and active procrastinators. Passive procrastinators delay the task because they have trouble making decisions and acting on them. They are the procrastinators in the traditional sense, paralyzed by their indecision to act and failing to complete tasks on time. They put something off but fail to replace it with a useful task. Passive procrastination is a self-destructive process. And then there's active procrastinators. They're fully aware that they're putting something off. They delay the task purposely because working under pressure allows them to feel challenged and motivated. Active procrastinators have lower levels of stress and more belief in their own ability to succeed. Active procrastinators eventually get the task done and usually complete a few more along the way, but passive procrastinators put it off, worry about it, and often end up never finishing it at all. Now, I'm not sure if you can be both of these. I don't think you probably can, but there's times in the day where I'll flip between the two. I think sometimes I do put jobs off, bigger jobs, because I know that I will do them. And it'll challenge me to do them the closer the deadline. But I haven't always been that way. I used to be really planned, orientated and get things done so I could rehearse and practice. And I think now the more stress and strain that's been put on my day-to-day work and my diary, the more I've become an active procrastinator, which has changed my personality type quite a lot, actually. The second theory of types of procrastinators is that there are actually six. According to psychologist, author and success coach Linda Saperdin, there are six styles of procrastination stemming from three types of behaviour. The first is the perfectionist. So they're reluctant to start or finish a task because they don't want anything to be less than perfect. They pay so much attention to detail that they often can't finish a project. The dreamer doesn't like details, which makes the ideas difficult to implement. They have thoughts about wonderful things, but somehow the details should just get done or somebody else should do it. So their thinking is fuzzy and they end up procrastinating because of that. I'm probably that. The ideal work attitude would be somewhere between the middle of a perfectionist and the dreamer. You should pay attention to detail, but it doesn't need to be perfect unless you're building a bridge, for example, something that revolves around people being safe. The third is a worrier. And this person has an excessive need for security, causing them to fear risk. They fear change, causing them to avoid finishing projects so they don't leave the comfort of the known. They're so anxious, they ask themselves, what if, a lot, and spend more time thinking about anxiety of the work than the peace of work at hand. It's like it's talking to me. Crisis maker. They're addicted to the adrenaline rush of living on the edge. They think that they work better under pressure, so they wait until the last minute and often put it off, but with a whole load of angst and generally not as good as it could be. The defier is a rebel seeking to defy the rules by procrastinating. They are setting their own schedule, one that no one else can predict or control. This sort of procrastination is sometimes associated with passive aggressiveness. And the final of the six is the overdoer. The overdoer says yes too much because they're unwilling to make choices or set clear priorities. They have difficulty making decisions and they end up doing a lot for other people but struggle to get things done for themselves. They're usually people likely to experience burnout. So according to Linda, the goal is to balance each of these areas. And the one that I joked about then is the worrier. I've always been a worrier. I always overthink everything. And I think that has a massive impact on my life. But I think it's definitely been heightened while I've been working from home. And we're working under such unusual circumstances. And the fact that you're not in your comfort zone, so much has changed, has probably made my procrastination worse. The good news is there are ways to beat it. And from my Instagram stories poll, 65% of people said they find it hard to stop procrastinating when they notice themselves doing it. So I'm going to give you some tips. You've got to reimagine your work, and there's a few ways to do this. Chunk your work. Instead of seeing what you're doing as one big task, break it up into smaller, more manageable pieces. You've got to create artificial deadlines. Prioritize tasks based on how important they are. Start small. Commit to working on tasks for only 10 minutes. Setting yourself the unrealistic target of 2 hours is counterproductive and will only increase procrastination. And the final tip is to identify where you're most and least productive and schedule your tasks accordingly. Least productive first, most productive at the end of the day. And you've got to experiment which ones of these methods of reimagining your work are the most effective for you. It's interesting when I'm looking at this and talking about it, because when I first started out in my career, I used to write the date. I used to have a notepad and I'd write the date and the day, and then I'd write to do, and then I'd underline it. It was very neat. And then I'd write a to-do list with dots. And then next to the to-do list, I used to mark a number based on what I needed to do first and what was the most important, all the way down to things that could wait, and monitor that list as I went along. And the things that carried on being on that list that were stressing me out because it felt like I had loads to do, if those things appeared on the list for weeks on end, I used to just scrap them because they obviously weren't that important after a period of time. And thinking about it now, that actually used to keep me so on track, and I've not done that for so long that I'm going to bring that back in. I'm going to bring it back into my life. Another tip is the Seinfeld method, and this is a productivity technique that Jerry Seinfeld used himself to consistently produce new material for his comedy act and TV show year after year. It's useful for anyone trying to establish a new habit, but it's especially useful for people who have a hard time staying consistent with goals that they set themselves. The traditional method involves buying a big wall calendar, but you can also use a notebook or a journal to track progress on your goals. So to get started, you simply draw out a simple grid. You label the first column date, and the second column, you put the label of the thing you want to do every day, e.g. write 500 words, do 100 squats. You keep your journal, notebook or calendar in a visible, accessible spot near where you work. And immediately after you complete that task, you tick it off or fill it in. Think of the project as a game. The more days in a row you achieve the goal, the better. If you miss a day, mark the length of your streak next to that day. This is the number for your next goal. So 10 days without breaking the streak. It's great for people who struggle with consistency. And I think it's an interesting concept. I'm not sure it'd work as well for me as it would for me completing tasks. I suppose like, I do love completing tasks, and that's why that to-do list used to work for me. It takes a long time to build a habit for me. So it, I think probably me just going through knowing that I've completed that task, and I don't tend to generally repeat the same tasks over and over again. But if it's something that you want to be consistent in, I think this is quite a nice method. Make the reward of taking action more immediate. As I mentioned earlier, one of the main reasons people procrastinate is because they see the goal or reward as too far in the future. So they feel there's little point in starting a task now or at all. One of the ways to bring future rewards into the present moment is with a strategy known as temptation bundling. It's a concept that came out of the behavioral economics research from the University of Pennsylvania. The strategy suggests that you bundle a behavior that is good for you in the long run with the behavior that feels good in the short term. It's combining instantly gratifying want activities with should activities that provide long-term benefits. So you only get your hair done while processing overdue emails. You only get a coffee from your favourite coffee shop when writing that report. You only watch your favourite series while you're doing the ironing. And I do think that that is something that I would love to build in. So I've been trying to, I say this on every podcast and I've still not cracked it, trying to get up earlier in the morning so I can have a bit of quiet time before the day starts. I was doing a bit of speed reading on the 5 a.m. club over the weekend. It's never going to happen. I'm not going to do it. But I would like to get up a little bit earlier before the workday kicks off. And I've started by going out for a walk in the morning and getting a coffee from my favourite little coffee shop around the corner and taking that on my walk with me. And I feel like that treat is the thing that's going to get me up in the morning. So I definitely think that that can work. I just need to do it a bit more consistently. Another of my favourite ways of doing anything, and it always pops up this, is mindfulness. According to research, increased mindfulness can lower levels of procrastination. And completing short 3-minute mindfulness exercises every day will significantly improve the likelihood of you completing tasks that you would usually avoid. Never thought of that before, but I think it's super, super interesting. So what is mindfulness? Mindfulness is the type of meditation where you focus on being intensely aware of what you're sensing and feeling in the moment, without interpretation or judgment. Practicing mindfulness involves breathing methods, guided imagery, and other practices to relax the body and mind and help reduce stress. So there's a couple of examples of ways of doing that. So sitting meditation, you sit comfortably with your back straight, your feet flat on the floor, and your hands on your lap. Breathing through your nose, focusing on the breath, moving in and out of your body. So you just start to read like this. It makes me do like the meditation voice. If physical sensations or thoughts interrupt your meditation, note the experience and then return your focus to your breath. And then the second way of doing it is the body scan. You move your attention slowly through the different parts of the body, starting from the top of your head, moving all the way down to the end of your toes. You can focus on feelings of warmth, tension, tingling, or relaxation of the different parts of your body. If you're new to meditation and you want to get into it and give it a try, I'd recommend Headspace and Calm. They are brilliant apps, and they do a course where you can go through each day and they sort of guide you through how to meditate. And it's not something that you'll get straight away, but it is an absolutely amazing way to just take yourself out of your own head and give yourself a little bit of brain time to calm down. It also has a lot of benefits including creativity, and allows you to be more creative because you're not constantly putting pressure on your brain. It helps me massively whenever I feel tense, and it's been something that I've used previously for my migraines, and it's a reason that I absolutely love yoga, because doing yoga and focusing on your poses and not falling over is a form of meditation, because you're keeping really focused on what you're doing in that moment. I could talk for hours about mindfulness. I think it's absolutely incredible. So if you've not tried it before, give it a go. Another tip is productive procrastination. So if you're a chronic procrastinator or you've struggled with procrastination for years, this is the strategy for you. It's also great for people who have a lot of negative emotions around procrastination and beat themselves up internally. It's a collection of three effective but counterintuitive techniques for rolling with the urge to procrastinate rather than fight against it. So step one is reframing negative self-talk about procrastination. Most people who struggle with procrastination have developed unhelpful mental habits around how they talk to themselves about procrastination. They're overly judgmental and critical of themselves. For example, why can't I just get it together and get things done like everybody else? The problem with self-talk like this is it adds a second layer of negative emotion on top of your already negative feelings about the task or your work. But if you change the way you talk to yourself about procrastination to be more compassionate and realistic, you can reduce or eliminate this second layer of negative emotion. Replace negative procrastination self-talk with realistic explanations like, it's true that I usually procrastinate with reports, but I can be very disciplined in other areas of my life like exercise. I am struggling with procrastination now, but I'm also proactive in taking steps to work on it. And some of the most accomplished people in history also struggle with procrastination. I don't think social media helps with this because I've talked about hustle porn and I think this feeds into that. I think once you see that people are really succeeding and they're smashing through their work and they're working all these hours and they're getting it all done, it doesn't help with that negative self-talk you put on yourself. So know that pretty much probably everyone's feeling a bit procrastination, probably feeling like they're procrastinating a little bit more, and don't put so much pressure on yourself to be like everyone on social media. Step two is consistent procrastination. So rather than a flaw or a lack of discipline, one way to look at procrastination is a natural desire for curiosity and a variety in our work. If you can make time on a regular basis to explore your many interests and curiosities in small ways, you'll be less likely to feel the need to indulge them in big ways via procrastination on a major task. To do this, you have to allow yourself to procrastinate regularly, intentionally. So if you've got 3 hours of studying to do, set up 15 minutes at the end of each hour to indulge your procrastination guilt-free. The third step is cultivating work-interest synergies. So people who manage to be very productive despite struggling with the urge to procrastinate usually have one thing in common. They procrastinate with productive activities. Let's say there are two procrastinators, both graphic designers. Procrastinator one indulges the urge to procrastinate on their design work by binge watching Netflix. Procrastinator two indulges the urge to procrastinate on their design work by reading industry blogs and looking at case studies for inspiration. In both cases, procrastination leads to a loss of productivity, but procrastinator two, their interests have synergies with their work. The activities that they do whilst procrastinating and putting off their work could turn out to be useful and productive in the long run. So, cultivate hobbies and interests that are similar to your primary work, and whenever you procrastinate, you'll be doing so productively. Productive procrastination is a mindset. It's a way of looking at procrastination as a natural human inclination that can be channeled productively, not as some kind of virus. Which leads me on to my next talking point. Is procrastination always a bad thing? I think procrastination can actually help us all be better because delay can be a sensible choice. If you put off something purposely because you think it's a good idea to delay, you're not always procrastinating, you're scheduling or prioritizing. Sometimes you need that extra time and headspace to gain some clarity, to think things through and establish the best way of approaching the task. It's okay to walk away from a task, to work on something else and come back to it later. Much better decisions can come from procrastination. However, as I mentioned earlier, people often procrastinate because they think they aren't in the right frame of mind to complete a task straight away and put it off in the hope that this frame of mind will come back to them a later date. This isn't always the case. Delay can be useful, but too much delay can be a bad thing because you will never feel ready. Nobody does. You will always have doubts. Not many people are 100% confident, and you will always want to make improvements. Nothing's ever perfect. The key is starting as soon as possible with enough preparation and knowledge to get it done to the best of your ability. The second theory on whether procrastination is a bad thing is because it can actually be advantageous. Research shows that some aspects of procrastination improve creativity and productivity. So in terms of creativity, in one study, participants were asked to generate new business ideas. Some were randomly assigned to start straight away. Others were given 5 minutes to first play Minesweeper or Solitaire. Everyone submitted their ideas and independent evaluators ranked how original they were. The results were the procrastinators' ideas were rated at 28% more creative. Procrastination encouraged divergent thinking. The procrastination thought process works best for people who are working on innovative projects and need creative ideas for problems. You probably won't benefit from procrastination if you have to deliver on tasks at the office and have strict deadlines to meet. So, procrastination can actually be great for people working in creative industries, which is great for me. Leonardo da Vinci was a famous procrastinator. He finished the Mona Lisa in 1517, despite having started it in 1503. Then, in terms of productivity, some people, specifically active procrastinators, make an internal choice to procrastinate and leave things until the last minute because they work better under pressure. Procrastination can breed efficiency for these types of people. Studies have shown that the human brain is more focused on doing things when it has the limited amount of time to do it. So the whole concept being embracing active procrastination, you have to give your brain minimum time to think of something or finish off something, which you were spending days working on earlier. Plus, the fact that your mind will be fresh from doing things you have enjoyed over the course of time, it's possible that you could automatically be more focused. The third theory in whether procrastination is actually a bad thing is procrastination worse? We've all heard of the phenomenon that is procrastination, but how many people have heard of procrastination, and how many procrastinators are there that can actually identify this behaviour? The term procrastination was coined by David A. Rosenbaum. Procrastinators put off cleaning the house, working out, responding to emails and starting projects. They wait until the last minute. But there is a segment of the population who will clean the house as soon as necessary, work out as soon as they wake up, respond to emails before having the information they need to write a good response, and start projects way before it's expected of them. Procrastinators rush to get things done as quickly as possible, even at the expense of extra effort. They don't put tasks off, they try and get them done immediately. Why do we procrastinate? Scientists say that charging forward like this is a way of dealing with anxiety and getting things off your plate. For a lot of people, it's also tough to resist reaching for low-hanging fruit. If something is immediately available to you, you're instinctively wired to go for it. When you complete simple short-term tasks, you have one fewer thing to think about. I can wrap this up in 5 minutes. Why not take care of it now? Personality traits such as eagerness to please and high energy can make someone more likely to procrastinate. In the last century, we've been trained to be responsive rather than truly productive. We get notifications, DMs, emails. You can hear it in my voice that I'm so tired of it. Giving each one of our precious attention immediately, whether it's bad news for your mum or a text from a phone carrier. What are the implications of procrastination? It can result in an expenditure of unnecessary effort that could be avoided with a bit of planning. In other words, haste makes waste. When jumping straight into a task that maybe aren't as important as others, such as clearing your email inbox right at the beginning of the working day, that is me, you may deplete the precious energy needed for more urgent and important tasks later on. When you rush to finish something, there's also a higher chance of doing your work incompletely or inaccurately. Workplaces of today need to acknowledge that there is not always the best way to do everything as quickly as possible. Sometimes you need to pause, to think things through, to plan so that you can complete tasks to the best of your ability. Do I procrastinate? I don't think I'm wired to procrastinate. I plan. I'm a planner. I have to plan my life out. I'm not very comfortable with doing things like just to get it done. So no, I don't think I am a procrastinator, because I have to, I really think about what things I'm going to get done in the day. So I don't think I've ever experienced that. So to summarize, I have felt like I've been procrastinating more than normal. And the ways that I'm going to deal with it is by really taking a bit of time to really plan out a priority list. And I'm going to go back to the things that I know work for me that I've just been avoiding for the last few years and go back to that, because I know it's worked for me in the past. I don't think that procrastination is a bad thing. I think it can help you give a bit of breathing space to an idea that then may have a better outcome than if you just jumped into it straight off. And my parting advice for anyone who's struggling with procrastination right now is to know that you're not on your own. There are so many people right now that are struggling with motivation, and we are so close to the end of the year now that I want to let you know that we have all done amazing things this year. If you're struggling with procrastination, give yourself 5 minutes, have a brew, put the pen down, give yourself a moment. My biggest tip to help me focus, and the thing that I do, and a little secret I'm going to pass on to you guys, is that I listen to concentration classical music on Spotify. I put on music that has no words, classical piano music that can play in the background, and there is a brain recognition that helps you concentrate when you listen to classical music. So there's my little parting tip. So if you're struggling right now, get that playlist on, get your head down, and you'll feel so much better for it. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week.